Hi and welcome back to the shortest history of Britain. Tonight we'll be covering the 1100s, the 12th century. This is absolutely one of my favourite 100-year periods. There's so much to cram in, even more than usual. Way too much to be skimming over in such a tiny amount of time. So I do encourage you, if this is something you're interested in, to look into some of these things in more detail, because there's so much going on here, so much that would shape Britain to be the country that it would go on to be. So we pick up the 12th century with the crowning of Henry I in Westminster Abbey on August the 5th of the year 1100. He'd been present a few months prior at the death of his brother, William II, who was the crowned king after the death of his father, William I, William the Conqueror, the former Duke of Normandy, who had taken the crown after the Battle of Hastings. Now, Henry had been with William II, as I say, in a hunting trip in the New Forest. And there are very suspicious circumstances surrounding the death of William, which point to potentially murder from a rather bitter Henry, who had been left without any claim to land upon the passing of his father. So Henry rode to Winchester, he claimed the crown, and he became Henry II, King of England. 2 months later, he married Matilda of Scotland, who was the great-granddaughter of Edmund Ironside, who you may remember from the previous episode, who himself was descended from Alfred the Great. Now, this lineage gave Henry's rulership more credibility. Whilst he himself had come from the Norman line, he had, in marrying Matilda, aligned these two dynasties, these two lineages, with each other and brought himself into the line of English kings. Whilst the marriage for Matilda, who was a very ambitious woman, was this great chance to rise to a position of power within the English ranks. They had a number of children together, but Henry also had a significant amount too, with a great number of mistresses. It's thought that he had at least 24 children in total, though we'll never really know, but of course there could be far more. 2 years after they were married, in February of 1102, they gave birth to a daughter, whom they also named Matilda. When she was only 8 years old, she was married to Henry V, King of Germany, and soon to be Holy Roman Emperor, making the young girl an empress. Now, a long series of events, which had begun some years earlier in that previous episode with the Norman invasion of 1066, was about to play out into a wild drama that would lead to a significant breakdown in the English balance. As I mentioned previously, William the Conqueror had left parts of Normandy, along with England, to his various sons. His eldest son, Robert, had taken the Duchy of Normandy, so titling him the Duke of Normandy, which was the title previously held by William, his father. Now, Robert had plans to invade his brother's land and to re-seize England and the crown for himself. So he began to build an army and to amass a fleet of ships that could cross the Channel. And they met on the battlefield at Alton in Hampshire, and a treaty was drawn between them, between Robert of Normandy and between Henry of England, wherein Robert agreed to recognise Henry finally as the rightful King of England, and in return, Henry would release all claims that he had to any land in Normandy. They also agreed as part of that treaty that if either should die without birthing a male heir of their own, then their land would go to the other brother. Now, Normandy was in utter chaos at the time, the ruling barons of the land all siding with each other in a number of disputes, and Robert's hold over the land there was beginning to diminish quite significantly. When he was forced to side with an enemy the following year in 1103, Henry saw this as a betrayal of their peace treaty and invaded Normandy. Over the next 15 years or so, England and Normandy, and to a lesser part the Kingdom of France, would engage in repeated messy duels and small wars, all tied around who would own what and whose son would be married to who for control of such a place. And in 1120, after a trip to Normandy, Henry left for home in the early evening. And whilst many of his men and his members of the court, who included his own legitimate son, and by virtue therefore the heir to the crown, left a little later on the famed White Ship. Now both the crew and the passengers of the White Ship were reportedly extremely drunk, and the ship, while crossing the channel, hit a submerged rock and sank with only one survivor, who was a butcher from Rouen. Henry was distraught. His people actually didn't tell him for a while that his only male heir had actually indeed died. They kept the news from him, and apparently when they reported it to him, he broke down in tears of grief. So he remarried soon afterwards with this sole intention of having another son, another who could go on to be the king. But he and his new wife didn't conceive, and in 1125, when the Holy Roman Emperor Henry V of Germany died, Henry's daughter, Matilda, the Empress, who'd been married off at a very young age, was returned to England, and Henry stated then that the crown would go to her upon his death. However, these attempts he made to instate his daughter as the new queen were unsuccessful, and so when Henry did die in 1135, the crown went to his nephew, Stephen of Blois. What ensued over the next two decades was a civil war which would be known as the Anarchy. Stephen's early years as king were marred with vicious fighting with other English barons and with invaders from across the border into Scotland who were starting to push down into the north, and with these rebelling Welsh hordes who again were fighting back against the crown, all battling for dominance across the land. And Robert was also now at full war with his sister Matilda, each with great armies of their own, of foot soldiers, knights, and mercenaries, and each with castles so strong that they were virtually impervious to being sieged. And so this war of attrition played out over years and years and years, with these two warring siblings, Robert and Matilda, slowly chipping away at each other's power. Robert was captured at the Battle of Lincoln in 1141 by Matilda and her men, and then actually the following year, Matilda herself was nearly captured by Robert at the Siege of Oxford. Normandy was recaptured too by Matilda's new husband, Geoffrey V of Anjou. You can remember that name. Fighting between them continued for years, for many, many years, until eventually we reached a point where the two came together for the signing of what was known as the Treaty of Wallingford, which finally brought an end to this huge, vast civil war which had been going on, and finally declared that Stephen of Blois, who was king at the time, would pass the crown to Matilda's eldest son, Henry, who would go on the following year to be crowned Henry II. Now, Henry II would be the first king of the House of Plantagenet, and would occupy the throne for nearly 40 years. Henry was a short man, with red hair and a fiery temper, and prone to the occasional bout of sulking, where he would refuse to speak to anyone at all. He presented himself as the legitimate heir to the throne of Henry I, denouncing that of Stephen of Blois, and began to set about rebuilding the country in his grandfather's image. And so homes at the time would have been, of course, quite simple. Wooden huts which were plastered together with a mix of clay and quite likely animal hair. They were often whitewashed Though many were actually brightly painted, the arrival of stone homes was also coming too, especially for the more affluent in society. There would have been inside these homes a small fire, which would have been inside for heating and for cooking, although chimneys were considered a luxury item, and so very few would have actually had a chimney. Items of furniture also were generally very expensive, so even a simple chair would not have been owned by those in the lower classes. They would have sat on the floor or on cut logs and slept on beds of straw, not even with pillows. In fact, they would rest their heads frequently just on logs. Their homes would be lit by reeds or rushes dipped in animal fat and then burned as though they were candles, wax candles again being this luxury item. Glass-paned windows, whilst introduced by the Romans, were only afforded by the very wealthiest, and the lower classes themselves covered their windows with strips of thin horn or linen soaked in this animal fat, this tallow, until they were translucent. Men would generally have worn tunics. Women would also have worn tunics, but they would have been longer, generally down to their feet, often tied with a belt. And so coming back to Henry here, one of the most infamous of all the events that is known from his reign was the Thomas Becket affair. Now in 1161, when the existing Archbishop of Canterbury died, Henry saw this as an opportunity to reinstate some control of his own back over a church with which he was often at odds. And so he appointed his old friend Thomas Becket, who had been formerly his chancellor, into this position as archbishop so as to align better the church and the crown. But once in the role, Becket began to relish this position he had and gradually began to loosen ties with Henry and embrace more than he had prior, these bonds of the church. And so there began this feud between the two men. Henry was stubborn and aggressive and spiteful and held grudges, whilst on the other side, Thomas Becket was this incredibly vain man, and he was overambitious politically. And whilst Henry sought support from international leaders, Becket excommunicated any man who sided with the king. And so they reached this rather impossible situation where both men were kind of at a stalemate with each other in this feud. And it continued that way until eventually Henry had four knights go to Canterbury to arrest Becket. But when they arrived there, he refused to be arrested. And the situation ended with these four knights under the command of Henry hacking Thomas Becket to death in front of the altar in Canterbury Cathedral just before New Year's Eve of the year 1170. Now Henry, as I say, had many children and a number of sons, but by the time of his death, there were only two remaining who could have succeeded him as king, Richard and John. John was his favourite son, but Richard was the eldest, and despite a number of heated feuds and wranglings, Richard was crowned King of England in 1189, again in Westminster Abbey. Now, a little from abroad here, just to set the scene for you. The Eastern Roman Empire, as we mentioned in a previous episode, was the last remaining face of the Roman Empire that had once ruled the continent and beyond. It was by that time known as Byzantium, or the Byzantine Empire, and it was headquartered in Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. It had, for nearly a century, been battling to reclaim the Holy Land from Muslim rule. The Holy Roman Church had called across Europe to all the leaders of Christian faith to take up this holy war, to fight on behalf of the Pope and to keep the land of the Byzantines under Christian ownership. The first such call to arms was known as the First Crusade, and it was fought out between 1096 and 1099. The Crusaders, as they were known, were largely successful in reclaiming Jerusalem and restoring much of that land back to Byzantium. Then 50 years or so later in 1147, the region fell again to Zengi, a Turkmen ruler, the namesake of the Zengid dynasty, which had ruled much of Upper Mesopotamia at the time. This time, the Crusaders, and this is what we know as the Second Crusade, with a few exceptions, largely failed. And it was largely a resounding success for the Muslims. Now, Henry II had made an agreement with King Philip of France to take the cross and to launch a third crusade back to the Holy Land. Though he died shortly after, and on his death, the responsibility for the crusade fell to Richard, who for his courage and military prowess would go on to be known forevermore as Richard the Lionheart. Along with Frederick Barbarossa, who was King of Germany and also then Holy Roman Emperor, the huge combined forces set off for battle to reclaim Jerusalem from the Sultan Saladin, and for this reason it went on to be known as the King's Crusade, the Third Crusade. There were some great victories and also some great defeats, and there would go on to actually be many more crusades over the years as the wars continued and land continuously swapped hands. Now, whilst Richard was gone, the power of the country sat, even without the crown, in the hands of his younger brother, John, which is a narrative we're very familiar with as underpinning the famous tales and ballads of Robin Hood. The image of Richard as the powerful, benevolent lion and John as the weaselly little brother was not entirely accurate. Richard did have many critics too. And there were moments when John would do great things as king when his time did come, though he was also nicknamed John Lackland, as he was not expected to inherit any significant land. When Richard returned from the Third Crusade, he was captured and held for some time in Austria. Now, instead of making any attempts to rescue his brother, the king, John instead seized power for himself. And when Richard did make it back to England, he found John holed up in Nottingham Castle, to which Richard laid siege with an army of men and a uniquely built trebuchet, which is a form of giant catapult, until John finally surrendered. Now, the two would bicker and feud for the rest of Richard's years, but regardless, he did indeed name him as successor to the throne. And when Richard died in the final year of the century, his brother was crowned John, King of England. Next time, we explore the 1200s. Beginning with a new King John, the century would bring more war, more murder, and huge social and political reforms that would change the shape of the country forever.